everybody. Welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 451. The show where we talk about Android apps, Android phones, government pants, and whatever else happens to tickle our fancy. I am your host, Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and joining me are the people you're really here to see. That would be the door-to-door geek, Steve McLaughlin, and Eric, the manager, the executive, the exalted one, Ardini. Hey, gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How you been, man?
It's a long time no see. I feel like it's been, you know, at least a week.
Yeah, probably. It seems like it's been longer. But I've had, for the first time tonight, and those who were here live for the pre-show got to see it, I had problems with my keyboard before the show. That's new. That doesn't happen every show. Thank goodness.
Did you get your keyboard from Amazon Review Trader?
No. It could kind of looks like one you might get from there because it has LED lights. Oh, but this is actually very
it does.
Nice. I got this from Liam, non-Review Trader. Tidwell.
All right. Dora, what's going on in your life?
Well, Halloween's over, thankfully. My oldest didn't want to stop walking. He's now 11. He did not want to stop walking. So he literally got like a brown supermarket bag filled to the rim of candy. But he's my kid. I love him. He's a little peculiar. He comes home from school. He's home by himself for 2 hours. He's home for an hour, and then he pings me on Boxer, says, "Hey, Dad, all my homework's done. Mom asked me to vacuum, so I did that as well. I also ate a thing of mac and cheese. Is it okay if I have a piece of candy?" I reply back, "You can have a couple pieces of candy." "Oh, boy. Thank you, Dad." This candy nice. Is going... I'm serious. Last year, he had candy in March. I know when I was a kid, you know, that candy would have been gone in 3 or 4 days. I would have been sick as a dog, but the candy would have been gone.
Yeah, we ration candy around here. The candy that they got the other night will last until Christmas, and then we'll throw it away for Christmas candy. And then that'll last until Easter, and we'll throw it away for Easter candy. And then it'll be a long dry spell until Halloween again.
Right.
We had a relative come to an egg stuffing party one time with Halloween candy that was full bags of, you know, little spider candies and things. Like, oh, yeah, I don't know, clearance sale maybe, I'm guessing?
The Snickers, the Kit Kats, the things I like, they go pretty quickly. And then the Jolly Ranchers and the Smarties, they last for months. It's a coincidence, I'm sure.
I like Smarties. Well, yeah. I like Smarties, so.
It's just a coincidence. And my youngest is the complete opposite. My youngest comes up to me every 3 minutes. "Dad, can I have a piece of candy? Dad, I was good today in school. Can I have a piece of candy? Dad, I did all my homework. Dad, I flushed the toilet. Can I have a piece of candy?" I mean, he just will not stop wanting candy. And I
got
to slow
him. We got home and my middle child took the candy bag up to her room. And I was like, no, give me that. There's no way I'm going to give you unfettered access to buckets of chocolate. No. I confiscate it. I take my candy tax. It's a pretty hefty income tax for candy. And then we put it in bags and then we put it in the pantry.
Yeah. And my neighbor told me, well, you know, if you have too much candy, there's a dentist up the street that will give you $1 per pound of the candy. And then he takes the candy and sends it to the troops in, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan, overseas kind of thing.
Pretty cool.
I thought, yeah, that's really cool, but, you know, I'm keeping my candy.
So my kids were invited to a friend's neighborhood. They do this thing. I guess trick-or-treating is done differently in different parts of the world. Maybe you guys have heard of this, but they're in a neighborhood that has a clubhouse with the pool and all that. So the whole neighborhood gets together at the pool at 5:30. They have pizza. There's a big party. They have a costume contest. They do all that. And then all the kids go as one amorphous blob from there and go house to house all at once. So if you're, you know, at your door, instead of going to the door 50 times a night, you just go out and throw candy at the mob once and it's all over. And then the mob just moves door to door and it's like a big party atmosphere. I thought that sounds pretty cool. But unfortunately, because my children are completely unable to tell time and their mother is no better, we got there at 7 o'clock for the thing to start at 5:30. And so they were a little short on the candy. I was downstairs in the basement, and I popped my head up at like 5:45, not a costume one on, no makeup, no nothing. I'm like, "Hey, weren't we supposed to be there like 10 minutes ago or something?" "Oh, yeah, well, I just need to do that." And then like 6:15, anybody interested in, I mean, are we still going? Did the plans change and I just didn't know? That's life with girls.
Yeah. We've got a thing where it's the Uptown trick-or-treat where, because one day of trick-or-treating is not enough, so they do it on Friday for all the businesses, and kids go business to business.
Yeah, Mike, the city I moved from did that. We loved it, because the whole city's there. It's everybody you know. It's invariably, there's candy and business cards in the kids' bags. Mm-hmm.
The computer shop that I own, that I rent to a computer shop guy, had a live streaming video of his shop, and everybody came in and out, and he was moving around on a hoverboard and giving candy out. And then he sped it up and put it on YouTube. That was pretty cool looking.
Very cool. Yeah. And I'll say, again, I think one of the best purchases I've made in the last couple of years are these little tiny USB thumb drive size lights, LED lights, where I basically took a portable battery charger, a portable phone charger, put two of these into the portable charger. And I had to basically point it towards the ground, because if people look at the light, it will like hurt your eyes, blind you kind of thing. So my kids always knew where I was at, because I was just standing there holding it by my hip, pointing towards the ground. Oh, even through crowds, oh, the bright light, that's Dad. Head towards nice. That. And these were literally like 90 cents a piece, free shipping. And it works with any portable charger. I mean, my dad keeps bringing me these little mini LED lights that he swears by. And I'm like, how much did you pay for this? $5, $8. I'm like, you're getting ripped off.
Do they have a power switch, or is it just plug in and it comes on?
It just plugs in and come on. So I typically trust my charger to have a on and off button to take care of that. But yeah, and there's almost no heat. I mean, I can't really feel the heat. If you want to know what these are, just shoot me a link. I'll shoot you a link to an eBay listing where you can get them literally like 80 cents a piece, free shipping. Take like 8 days to get here from Hong Kong, and haven't burned down my house yet.
Yeah, I keep hoping that hoverboard doesn't burn down my building that he keeps there.
Yeah,
I love LEDs, man.
I was down in my basement that I'm turning into a man cave. There's shop lights, you know, 4 foot, two things of lights. And I've been looking at how to replace those. And what I've discovered is I don't know if it's a new thing, but I didn't know they existed before, is drop in LED replacements that you don't even have to rewire the ballast. A lot of the ones I'm familiar with, you have to rewire the ballast or take it out. These actually handle the ballast and everything. You just pop it in there and done. And they're like 2,500 lumens, which is roughly the same as a 4 foot tube. They're still pretty expensive right now. They're about $19 per bulb, as opposed to like $3 per bulb for a fluorescent. But you know, in 10 years, 15, LEDs will be everywhere. There's just no excuse for it, because they are superior to every other light form. You know, they're as bright now. I mean, you could get a freaking spotlight now made out of LEDs. There's very little heat. There's very low energy. We just need the technology to get a little less expensive.
Yeah, I mean, just a little bit cheaper, in my opinion, is where they need to get, just a little bit cheaper. And then, you know, they're
my studio better. Lights here that you're seeing me on, I have four LED bulbs that are the full 55K daylight white. I think they were about $12 a bulb. So I've got $50 worth of bulbs here, but they're going to last me forever, you know, 30,000 hours, and I use them 8 hours a week. So my great-grandchildren will be using these light bulbs.
I think the only negative thing I've heard is something about emitting blue light more than the regular spectrums are. And it's odd. I don't know if you guys have tried this, and I found this out reviewing LED lights on AMZ Review Trader, but because I like the Edison-looking mm-hmm. bulb lights with LEDs in them instead of the filaments. And to take a picture of an LED with your phone camera, the frequency's off, so it puts bars on your screen.
Okay, that's the refresh rate. That used to be the same thing. You didn't used to be able to take a picture of a TV with the old tube TVs for the same reason.
Yeah, and I know cheap LEDs don't show white. They can't show white. They basically do a mixture of green and blue to make it lighter kind of thing. But they now can do much more realistic white with the lights. Mine are, I think, a slight bit bluish.
So there's a C rating, color rating. 100 is considered perfect white light. And these LEDs that I've got right now are 81 on the C scale. Most incandescents run anywhere between 70 and 90. So they're as good as a bulb. But you go to the, you know, the old incandescents, they tend to run more yellow than blue. White light is really only comes from the sun. It's hard to reproduce that. But yeah, that for some reason, the cheap ones have trouble with that. One thing, I read an article a while back about LEDs, and it's you don't make, or at least at the time, you didn't make an LED a certain color. You put power to a crystal to see what color it was, and then you sorted them from there. So it was like they had to mine the right crystals to get the white. And the red ones are easy to get. So it's not where you organically create them. There's a block of rock there, and you put electricity at different parts of it and see what color it emits.
So are we growing the crystals now in a lab?
I don't know. Like I said, that my information's a few years old, but I would assume that we have that ability. I mean, if we can make diamonds, surely we can make diodes.
Well, I always thought, like, OLED, that just intrigues me because it's organic. I'm like, what? How big is
this? Well, you did the thing as a kid where you poured the little, you know, crystals into the water and grew rocks, right? It's the same thing, only high tech.
I always liked the weird oils, like in a pencil case, and you smear it. It was like pressing on the screen of your calculator.
Yeah.
That was always, I like that more.
Not only were nerds, we're old nerds. So any news to report? We were gone a couple of weeks. We missed last week, not because anybody was traveling, but just because we all got busy. It was Halloween.
I got something. I ruined another calculator screen.
Well, you were mashing on it with your finger. So
yeah. Other than that, no, I got nothing going on. I got the Google Home arrives tomorrow, so we're a little early on the podcast for that review.
Is it really coming, or did just Google says it might?
Well, my tracking says it. FedEx tracking says it'll be here tomorrow before the end of the day.
All right. Well, that's, you could probably trust that.
Probably. I have the yoga book all boxed up. I got the approval to return it just the other day. So
what's the story there?
And I listened to myself on podcast, and I can tell you, I turned on a dime, like viciously, about that device. The hardware, I'm still infatuated with. I think it's fantastic hardware. You're not going to type super efficiently on it, but you can type on it and get by with stuff. But it's just the OS they have on there, the configuration of the Android operating system on there, was among the worst tabletized laptop Android experiences I've seen. Remix OS has spoiled me to where with them, I can take any window, make it not full screen, make it any shape or size that I want, and put as many on the screen as I want with Remix. Only very few apps it does not work with. Lenovo did the exact opposite. They only whitelisted certain apps to be able to do multi-window, so they have to go and say it's okay, aka almost no apps do it. You know, Gmail does it, Chrome does it, Google Maps does it, and, you know, that's it. Nothing else I used, I was able to put into windowed mode. And because of that, I became very bitter.
No chance to ROM it, or you just weren't willing to spend time to ROM something you spent that much money on?
Nah, ROMs only come out for things that at least have some level of popularity, and it's too soon. If there is going to be a ROM for this thing, it's probably not going to be for like 3 or 4 months. If they figure out how to get by the bootloader. And I just don't have the patience.
Because when last we spoke, it was the best thing ever.
The hardware is great. The hardware is among the best hardware I've ever had. The
hens just wasn't enough to get you to keep it.
The OS was just so bad. All they had to do was go to Jide and say, Jide, let's do a deal. We'll put your OS on our hardware. And let me tell you something. No matter what they're selling right now with Android on it, they would sell tenfold more. Because it's just remixing.
So why do you think that is? It's a common thing where hardware manufacturers want to write the software, or software coders want to release the hardware. Are they trying to chase that Apple-esque smooth integration, everything just works? Is that why you think it is? Or I mean, why not?
I don't know if it's Apple-esque, but I know it's part of the thing is we want to own it. We want to control it from top to bottom. We don't want to rely on anybody else. We don't want any other company to be able to hold our feet to the fire and say, well, the last time you used us, it was a success. This time it's going to cost you.
But they're not willing to go all out, right? So they took a free thing, Android, and they ruined it rather than writing their own. If they really wanted to do that, they would write their own.
Well, I blame that on executives. Some executive somewhere making a decision saying, yes, that's good enough. Looks good to me. Doesn't look good to you, Bob. Looks good to me, Bob. You know,
just I think when you're buying tablets from Lenovo, HP, Dell, and, you know, big name.
Adele says tab.
Adele. She sings about them. She likes them so much. Actually, she's kind of bitter towards them. But anyway, they think, oh, this too. They're like, oh, we got our great Windows PCs and laptops that are selling okay. But, you know, there's this other thing that everybody else is doing. We need to do that too. So let's just throw one of those out there real quick. Oh, you got some of those cool hinges left over from that other? Yeah, okay, we'll throw that on there. Mm. That's what I think, because my experience with the Dell tablet, they put it out and that's it. There's no support. They don't care. They don't listen. They don't. And there's no customer service.
Well, when you're a hardware manufacturer, right, you only make money when people buy new hardware. So there's not a lot of incentive to replace, to support, ongoing things. Like, you know,
No, there would be.
I mean,
because you'd buy another one. I'll never buy another Dell. I won't even buy another Dell computer because of how crappy that tablet is.
Well, yeah, but they're not worried about you. But like, and to be honest, Mark, that's why I returned the item. I knew there was no chance they would fix it. They would update it because they already have my money. Why would they spend any more time?
It's like a refrigerator company offering a software update that makes a refrigerator colder. Or, you know, you're not going to do that. You're going to go buy another refrigerator. I mean, there's no other industry where we expect the manufacturer to upgrade the hardware or to upgrade the system just because. Like when you buy a new Ford, you understand that that's the Ford you're going to have for a decade. And it's not going to get any new tricks. It's going to do the only thing it's going to do is fall apart. It's going to start at one thing, and entropy is going to kick in. But on computers, phones, you know, things with a chip in them, we expect them to get better, which is exactly counter to what the hardware manufacturer wants to happen. They want them to fall apart.
Well, and hardware manufacturers, when they do these kinds of things, they have right now a very low bar of expectations. Because most of the people doing this suck at it. HP, I had their laptop, it sucked. Dell, I had their tablet, it sucked. I mean, everybody doing this kind of thing basically sucks, except for Jide. And the problem with Jide is you can't walk into Best Buy and buy a Jide. You can't walk into Walmart and buy a Jide. They don't have the name recognition that the Dell has, the HP has, and everyone else has. So if HP or Dell or somebody else did an Android type thing that was good, then the next one that they would come out with, I'm sure, would be better, because then they have to compete with the other company, where right now it's a very low bar of competition.
And I've bought every Nexus tablet they've ever made, and I probably will continue because of, not that they do things that are more amazing than any other ones, but they actually just continue support. Well,
there ain't going to be no more Nexus tablet, so guess you're done buying
it. Yes, I'm done. I'm good. I can save some money.
Yeah, so now, do you think they'll continue that on with the Pixel line, that this is going to be the thing that gets updated? If Google is now making their own hardware instead of partnering with other companies, they're naturally going to fall into the same cycle, right? We want you to buy new hardware, and the only way to do that is to let the software get crusty.
They've let the hardware get crusty, too, because they haven't come out with a new tablet for so long.
Well, and they've already done the inverse, Mark, which is they announced the Google Pixel and they tried to make it sound like the software on it was exclusive and you'll never have anything except this on the Pixel. So if you want this software experience, you have to get a Pixel. So they're already trying to give people excuses to buy their hardware, which, of course, really isn't their hardware. It's HTC's hardware, but, you know.
Yeah, I don't understand how they keep saying it's their...
It's a lie. It's a lie. It's like RCA. It's like you go to the store and you buy an RCA Blu-ray player. Guess what? You don't, because RCA doesn't exist anymore. It's some other company took the name and put it on top of it. Google does not have any manufacturing facilities. Google did not put one screw in that device. Google, in fact, didn't even design the device. Google worked with HTC designers.
By that logic, Apple has never made a phone either. Foxconn makes their phones.
Yeah. I never said Apple made their stuff.
I think Apple designs it, because it says right on the back of the thing, it says designed in California.
The only reason I think Apple gets any more credit, deserves any more credit, is because they actually custom design their processors. So at least the heart of their devices come from their own makings. where Google, I mean, the only thing they made was the OS on it.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. I'm interested to see, did they give you any hassle about returning it, or did they just say, all right, fine?
If they gave me a hassle by charging me 15%, which ain't cool, but, you know. And I had to apply to return it. I couldn't just return it. So
that doesn't make sense.
I know. I'm not whatever, arguing whatever. My logic is, so now it's going to probably take them a month to give me my money back. So in a month, I might not want a Lenovo.
Right.
Moving forward. I don't know.
My last Lenovo was a horrible, horrible laptop. So I'm kind of sour on them too. I'm running out of brands.
That's a real thing. I mean, if you're looking for people who have never burned you, you know, that's hard to come by.
Acer.
I mean, my go-to for hardware.
Asus.
That's what I was going to say. My go-to for all hardware is Asus in terms of desktops and laptops. I've never bought a lemon from them. I've definitely had issues. They have problems with their power connectors. You know, every Asus laptop I've ever owned, somebody has ripped the power jack out. I haven't had that problem with my HP laptops. So, you know, there is some design issues, but overall, and the numbers bear it up too, they're number two in customer satisfaction behind Apple and have been for years.
Oh, wow.
I was always sold on their motherboards, you know, so that's kind of moved on. And like the Nexus tablets are made by Asus. They're just fine.
All right. Well, since the show is called Android App Addicts, why don't we talk about a couple of apps? I always start with Eric. I mean, with Dor. So this time I'm going to start with Eric.
You always start with Dor?
No, I really don't. I'm just going with that.
All right. I don't have a whole lot of big in-depth apps this week anyway. I'm just going to give an update. There's a new app called Google Home which took the place of the Google Chromecast app, in case you haven't looked at your phone and you have a Chromecast. At some point, it'll do an update. And it'll be called Google Home, which offers, I think, a couple more features than Chromecast had, like maybe easier ways to get to content without having to search through it and hit the Chromecast button. But nothing jaw-dropping, no crazy cool. I played with it for a while. I never used the Chromecast app, honestly, much, so I don't know how much more this offers.
Yeah, so my experience with Chromecasting is I slide down from the top and I click the cast button in the settings. I didn't know that there was an app. Seriously, I didn't even know.
Well, originally, when you first got your Chromecast, there was this app that you had to use to get
it going. I don't have a Chromecast. I threw it to my Roku or my TiVo.
Oh, okay. All right.
You don't have to have the app to get it started. You can do it from a laptop.
Okay. Well, the Chromecast app, I do remember, used to give me little Easter egg-ish, like I'd win stuff every now and then.
Get offers.
Free stuff. But it is a guide, I guess, like a TV guide-ish kind of thing. It shows where content, what's trending, kind of things like that. If you want another way to have consumption thrown at you, or you know, media thrown at you for your consumption, and it's easy to Chromecast from. I guess telling me what's trending now on YouTube, Netflix, Google Play Movies and TV, HBO Go. I think it looks at the apps I have installed and shows me what's on them.
Yeah, that's the thing. It knows Eric has Netflix installed, so it tells him what's popular on Netflix. Nothing. It really, honestly, is a good app when you're bored and you want to watch something. Instead of going to the YouTube app and watching YouTube videos, this is basically anything you can Chromecast. And you can, from inside there, go to the offers and redeem whether it's 6 months free of YouTube Red or other offers like that.
All right. Well, so they're changing the name of the hardware, right? Well, or is it different hardware? There is still a Chromecast, right? But there's also the Home.
Yes.
But you can't Chromecast to your Chromecast. You have to use the Home app. Can you cast to your Home using the Cast app, or do you have to cast to the Home using the Home app, but you can also cast to the Cast with the Home app?
No, you can still you don't have to use the Home app to cast.
Okay.
To the Chrome app. When Eric gets the Google Home, what he should be able to do is say, hey, confabulator, Chromecast last presidential debate. And it should be able to go onto YouTube, find the last presidential debate, and automatically stream it to his Chromecast without him having to have a tablet or phone or laptop intervention to it.
It's ironic that we say this now when this literally is the last presidential debate. Isn't that odd?
Well, you know, at least it gives the promise of being able to do that level of interactions with his devices. I and I'm sorry now, I don't care what journalists are going to tell me about this thing for over 4 months because they lie through their teeth. I listened to them for months tell me how the 6P was the best phone ever, best phone ever, best phone ever. And then for the last 3 months, those same journalists have been saying how I've had problems with it all the way from the whole time. It doesn't work right. The camera doesn't load. And then I can't wait for the Pixel.
So do you listen? You know? So you like listening to my reviews then? Because I dissed the 6P immediately when I got it. I was one of the first to get it. And
because you're a real person.
I didn't like it. I traded it for a 5X even.
Right. I think this Google Home, to get it in the beginning, it could be cool. I'm not going to lie, Eric. Good luck with it. But I do feel like in typical fashion, you're a beta tester. Mm-hmm. And no matter how it is for you on day one, it better be better than that in 3 months. And it better be better than that 3 months moving forward.
If I'm the kind of guy, if the Google Home wasn't a thing, I probably would have bought an Amazon Echo by now. Because I this is a thing I like. I think this is cool technology. But I'm all in on Google, so I might as well go with this one since they're coming out with it. I think my biggest hang-up without playing with it yet is going to be how it handles multiple accounts because everybody in this house has a different Gmail account.
It doesn't. I know. No, it doesn't. They've already said it.
Correct.
It's confirmed.
I want to see how I can manage that because I really don't want it reading
you
my...
You can't. No, you can't. There is none. The only way to do it is just like we had to do it years ago. You now have to create a new account called Eric's family account on Gmail.
Can you add?
And then you have.
Can you add that one to Google Red too, Dor, as a family member?
No. And then you have its calendar syncing with your calendars for all your family calendars, but only for certain things. So now you're going to have
that's what I did. About a year ago, I created a family account just for that. It's family@thecockrells.net, and when I sign up for any new service, I use that because I got tired of my kids. On my Netflix account that I set up in, when my kids were two, it wasn't even a concern that my kids wouldn't want to use my Netflix app on the account on their tablet. But more and more, that's become a thing. And so I set everything up on that family account and everything logs into there and I do sharing. And it's just another, it's the home. It's right. We might as well call it Jarvis. It's the fifth, in my case, the sixth personality in the home. And we have to share everything with it. And it's crazy, especially since I use Google apps for domains. Oh, wait, that doesn't exist anymore. It's a thing. I really think that's what Google's going for with the whole home thing. We geeks of our age grew up watching our heroes talk to the air and the air talked back. Kirk and Picard and all those people did that, mm-hmm. And not just... Yeah, any good thing, the time tracks guy, all of them, they just talk to the air and the air talk back. And so we just got, we come to expect that. And I think maybe that's what Google's going for with the home. You just, home, and you just talk to the home and it talks back. But there's this whole interconnection issue. Increase the lights right now requires... 6 different devices and 3 different accounts, and you have to be internet connected to be able to say lights and have it turn on the lights.
I just really want somebody to tell me a joke when I demand it.
Well, Amazon can do that, right?
The Google Assistant. Yeah. You open up Allo, the app that no one is using.
I haven't installed.
Why would they?
Open up Allo.
Never used it.
Everyone has installed.
Yeah, why would they use
open it? Open up Allo, go to the assistant and say, tell me a joke, and it will tell you a bad joke. I'm still looking for the cone of silence.
I hope it works better. Yeah. So
that's all I want.
Yeah. What? So my experience, the whole Google Assistant, you brought that up, and we're at that point now where I have come to expect I can talk to my phone, right? The Moto X, its one trick is that it has that chip in it that's listening all the time, and so that you can talk to it. You can set your own phrase. So for years, I have given my virtual assistants names that start with A because they're Android and A, and the voice is always a woman. So this particular one is Andrea the Android. And so I speak to my phone. I say, Andrea, listen up. And it speaks, it wakes up and talks to me. And so that's, in fact, it just did. So that's the voice command. But it doesn't work a large percentage of the time. I'll be yelling at my phone in my car, Andrea, listen up. Andrea, This and, I, and nothing. And I'm like, it's your one trick. This is the one thing that you were supposed to do. The one thing I paid all this money for, and you don't can't do it. And then when I finally do, I'll get a query, and it'll say, opening Google. And then it'll go to Google. And then there's like this 40-second delay while all these things come together. And I'll sometimes get a verbal response back, but probably 80% of the time I get a web search. And I'm whining about this. I'm thinking, this is the freaking future. I'm speaking to the air and getting what I want. But at the same time, it's not Picard yet. It's not what I want. And I'm hopeful that Google Home is going to move us more in that direction. But all I'm seeing is the exact same thing with a new name.
Well, my 5X does what you're talking about. It's 90% of the time right on. It works really well. The talking to it, I can't change its name, but it works really, really well. And I don't know. I hope Assistant is Google Now and more, but Google Now, it does everything I need right now. So I hope they don't take anything away from Google Now that the and give it to the Assistant, or not give it to the Assistant from Google Now, because I like what I have. I don't want to change it too much, but I'm always game for more things.
That's
5X isn't a high-end phone.
Yeah, you've got the OK decent. Google, right? And the OK Google works pretty well, right. But not when your phone is off, right? Or does the 5X let you do when the phone's off?
Okay. When the phone's off, yeah.
Oh.
Or when the screen's off, I mean.
Yeah, obviously it's got to be turned on.
If you power it down. If you put a piece of tape over it, it doesn't work.
Or I'll say, you know, Andrea, listen up, and I'll ask it a question, and it'll say, unlock your phone to continue. No, that's the whole reason I want to talk to you, is because I don't want to interact with my phone. I have bacon grease on my hands, and I wanted to ask you how many tablespoons is in 3/4 cups. I don't need to unlock my phone with my elbow to do that. So, you know, it's first world problems, but also we're sort of at that uncanny valley. We have some of the functionality, but not enough to smooth it out and make it really useful.
I think,
yeah, I do think in this time frame, we're getting close. We're getting really close. I don't know if Google Home is going to be that device to be able to bridge that last gap kind of thing to be successful enough of the time for us to be happy. I know everyone I know who has an Amazon Echo swears by it.
And I hope the speaker...
Google Home better be better than that.
I hope the speaker's as good as the Echo's. That would be a big fail if they're not at least as good.
You can have different colors. That makes it better alone, right? Oh, wait, no, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah, you can swap out the bottom speaker grill. Yeah, that's pretty fancy. Yeah.
The bottom one that's sitting on the desk all the time that you can't see?
Yeah, I don't... Yeah, it's going to look like a Febreze air filter for me, probably, most of the time.
Stick it to them with stick-ups.
Well, that was my app, Dor.
Dor, what's your app? Your first app?
Okay, my app is a app that Bill Miller posted at least a week ago in the Android App Addicts community on Google+. And I thought, he posted it, why the hell are you posting this? We've had this app for over a year. And I thought, maybe we didn't have it over a year. Let me go look at the show notes. We had a Swappa app last September. So it was more than a year we had a Swappa app. But this isn't that. That app was called Swappa Price. This app is just called Swappa. Okay. The last app we had, we could search for a phone, see the trends in the history, but then when we wanted to actually see what was being sold or put ours for sale, we would click and it would be pushed out to a browser. Now it's all in one app. So now you can, from inside the app, search, pin, bid on, or I believe even start the sale process of your phone. And I cannot tell everybody enough. Swappa is the place to go to get rid of your fully functional phone with as little hassle for a good price. And that's where you need to go when you want a new phone, the new to you phone at a fair price. Really hard to beat.
So you've purchased hardware from Swappa?
I've purchased, I believe, 3 devices from
Swappa. How close to new is what you get?
As new as the listing states it. On 2 of them, I bought mint, was their description, and the other one was good. The one that was good, when I turned it on the corner, I could see a scuff mark. On the screen, I could see like a little buff mark. On the 2 that said mint, I literally sat there for 10 minutes flipping the phone around, and I could not see a mark.
And so how close to list did you pay for mint?
For mint, I want to say at the time, it was a Note 4 I bought, And still, if I wanted to buy one brand new, it was like over $300. And I want to say it was like 180 is what I spent. To me, it was a very fair price to buy that. And then the other one I bought from there was a Moto X. And the guy admitted, he said, look, I'm going to give you like 5 cases with this. The cases are worn. The phone is like mint. There's nothing wrong with it. And then he showed one picture. He said, one time when he put the case on, there must have been something on the back. So right on the back of the phone near the bottom was just a slight scuff. He said, so for that, I can't call it mint. You put the case on, guess what? It's mint, you know, whatever. I got that one. I mean, that at that time, Moto X's were going for, I want to say it was like $350 on Amazon. I got it for like $140. It was like ridiculously cheap, ridiculously cheap. And it came literally within like 2 days, 3 days.
But he's probably not going to get $140 anywhere else. He's not going to get that on Craigslist or eBay. So it's a win for both people.
Well, and it's a win for them too, because Swappa basically gets, I want to say, about $10 per transaction. So that's your, so when you see the phone's $150, that guy's not getting $150. He's getting $140, you know, through the transaction. And yeah, the difference is they actually check EMIE numbers. You cannot sell a phone on Swappa that is not fully functioning. So if everything works except for, you know, the flash doesn't work or the volume button down doesn't work, and Swappa finds out that you are trying to sell it or that you sold it on their device, they will blacklist you. So what you do is just like eBay, you go, you look at a device, you find a device, then you go see, oh, this guy sold 3 or 4 devices before. The more devices they sold, the more likely you're going to be very satisfied.
All right. Good stuff. An app and a service. So let me read an email. First off, I want to thank Renee Hald for his recent pledge to Patreon. Thank you, Renee, for that. I assumed that was a he. That was very sexist of me. Renee could be a female name. Thank you, he or she, for your pledge to Patreon. And, you know, I'm not going to say you're what keep us going, but it certainly doesn't hurt anything. And now moving on to an email from our friend Scott. He says, hey, Mark, Eric, and Dor. It's so nice to be back to be included in emails. I've been doing this over a year, and people still don't put me in emails. So awesome. I have an app to recommend that I don't remember you guys mentioning in the past. It's an app called Prisma. And he gives us the link. It's an app designed to filter images. It does a really good job on boosting the looks of photos. Lots of different cool filters. And then Eric replied that, yeah, this is one from the attic. I remember him talking about it. But, you know, it's good to bring back old favorites once in a while, too.
But the Prisma did have a huge update where it used to be you'd take your picture. It would upload to the cloud. All the processing would be done on that end. And now it's doing some of the work on your phone.
Oh, so I was right. Is that what you're telling me, Eric? I'm right. I was right the whole time that the only reason you were uploading anything was basically give that company value and market share, because everything that was done could easily be done on your phone the whole time. Wow.
Well, no.
That's amazing.
It was just to the firmware update that was flashed to your phone gave it the extra power to do those amazing
effects. I'm telling you right now, I don't know nothing. I guarantee you, they had you upload all your pictures because they were able to gather metadata and faces from it and sell it to companies. We just had a couple weeks ago this big breach, quote unquote, of 171 million pictures that local and state and federal police have access to, where they can do all kinds of searches for it. Let me tell you something. I don't know nothing, but 171 million photos is nothing at all, even remotely close to how bad this problem actually is. Again, I'm not saying I have personal hands-on experience. I'm just positive 171 million photos is nothing. Nothing. And a company like this, every time they get a picture of someone's face and a name especially, or a name and a location, oh, that's money. That's money. They turn around, they sell this, and they don't sell it to government.
Governments already have it. The DMV already has your face and your address and your name.
But yes, but they only get pictures every X number of years. With this kind of thing, they can get pictures every day. Every single stinking day. So this was a great money-making endeavor for Prisma. Their marketing department is straight genius. This app did nothing spectacular that couldn't be done on a calculator in the 80s, yet they had to upload it to the cloud for their processing.
Okay.
I mean, the effects are cool.
Oh, I agree.
But
it's gorgeous.
I don't think you could
it's
do gorgeous. Those effects on a calculator in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing special to them. All there is, it's reduction. That's all it is.
And you know, the I remember having this discussion when we first talked about it. They've very carefully cherry-picked the examples on the website. Because when you play with this, you find that one out of 50 images is as cool as one of these. You know, they're most of them are like, oh, okay, yeah, all right. And then you come across this really good stunner. And so, you know, they've got like, you know, 0.01% of all their stuff posted here. So, yeah, it can be really cool if you're a model in perfect studio lighting conditions and you choose the right filter and you tweak it just right.
I took a picture. I remember this app. Now, I never took a picture of a person. I took one picture and tested it. And it was of a Corvette. And I was really impressed with the results. It was a fancy Corvette with a stormtrooper driving it that I saw in Daytona.
Yeah, that's right. That's
and
right.
And it the effects that it did on that picture, I thought were pretty cool.
All right.
That was my only experience. I never kept going with it.
All right. So that was both an email and an app. So, Eric, we're back to you now.
Back to me. I'm going to bring this app. It is an endless runner that's really super gruesome, and it is called Smile Incorporated. This one, I think, was suggested to us in
bad
the
link.
Android
app. Yeah, bad link.
Bad link. Bad link.
Wah, wah, wah.
And this is the good link for it right here. This app actually is a...
Super Lame Games. I love it.
Yeah, Super Lame Games makes it. But the person who works at Super Lame Games is Roman... What's his name? He's a YouTube prankster. And he now works for Super Lame Games. And this is kind of like kind of his tribute to games or something. Roman... I was just watching some of his pranks before the show, so I remember. Roman Atwood. Okay, I'm sorry. Roman Atwood. And he's like one of the major prankers on YouTube. And his pranks were pretty gory and pretty graphic and disturbing. They weren't really exactly funny. It was basically he'd go up to somebody and, you know, make his nose like crackle and crunch and stuff and talk about how he can't blow his nose and breathe or anything. But basically this is an endless runner, randomly generated. Things are in your path that you have to avoid, and every time it's different. Sometimes it's sharks cruising around; they got to eat you. Chainsaws, circular saws, saw blades, round buzz saw blades.
That's the word you're looking for.
Dynamite,
buzz saw. Yeah, buzz saws. There's lasers, a bunch of different things. You just got to run through, and you do it by.
And then there's coins you have to pick up. It looks like.
Yep, and you can pick up helmets and stuff, and it'll give you protection if you. So it's you rock back and forth to move left and right. And then if you tap on the screen, it kind of gives you like a turbo boost, and you can bust through danger sometimes by hitting a turbo through something. Like if somebody's there with a hatchet, if you turbo at them, you'll like knock them over and they won't get you. But, you know, if you're into endless runners and it's so gory. If you get like your head chopped off, first of all, if you get hit by a blade, it is chopping your head off. And then your head is spun around the blade and it goes about 50 feet in the air. There's blood dripping out of it the entire time.
And this is T for Teed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
But that is Smile Inc. by Super Lame Games.
Great company, Dave. 67,000 reviews. T for Teen. Completely free to download. Does have some sort of in-app purchase. 4.9 average reviews. Updated October 28th. So still, you know, pretty fresh. Between 50,000 and, 500,000 and 1 million installs, version 102.
Yeah.
And they're out of Ohio.
Nothing wrong with
that. Nothing about this appeals to me. I don't like endless runners. I don't like gratuitous violence. Nothing about this appeals to me. So just, you know, Debbie Downer doing my job.
Maybe if you tried it, though, it would put you, it's so over the top on both of them. It's so endless. And running and so gory.
I'll say the thing I don't like, the game seems okay. Nothing special. I almost despise the fact that the description, welcome to Smile, Roman Atwood and crew have finally decided to get real jobs. So they're heavily relying off of his popularity to get
those
download numbers. Well, it worked to a degree, but it doesn't work with this guy.
I mean, work with you.
No, good games get me to download. And honestly, the graphical style, I'm a fan of. Simplistic, yada, yada, yada. But I mean, no endless runner guy. Me like goals and levels and bosses.
Not meters. Not meters ran.
Endings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So since that's not for you, Dor, tell us what is for you.
Okay. Well, what is for me is actually not for me. It's probably more for Eric, but it's also for the non-thumb-ringing wearing guy from All About Android.
Non-thumb-ringing?
Just bring this. The non-thumb-ringing guy. Comic book guy. Can't remember his name. He did bring this to... no, he didn't. Somebody else did, but he should have. Hey, this is called Pinout. This is an endless style game, Mark. Hey, this is, to me, the most different, unique-ish viewpoint, perspective on endless style gameplay I think I've seen, at least in a while. I don't want to say ever. That's giving a lot of credit, but in a long time. This is called Pinout, P-I-N-O-U-T. Metacore, top developer, E for everyone, completely free. Does have in-app purchases, and I'll have to explain them here shortly. 22,000 reviews, 4.3 average reviews. October 26th was updated. Between 1 million and 5 million installs, version 101. Okay, this is an endless runner in, imagine a pinball machine, except it was a endlessly long pinball machine. And you know how you can sometimes hit the ball from the bottom set of the paddles up to the further set of paddles? Well, there's always, quote-unquote, another further set of paddles you can go to. This is a very Tron-looking game, but there are different ramps you can take up. Sometimes the ramps give you extra time. Sometimes the ramps give you power-ups. Sometimes the ramps slow down time and physics. And then sometimes the ramps do nothing but waste time. The in-app purchases allow you to continue at levels to where if you make it from the blue to the white or from the blue to the pink, if you do the in-app purchase, next time you start the game up or the next time you start your round, you can start at the last level color that you were at instead of having to go back to the very beginning every single time. To me, that's almost a genius in-app purchase. It's the kind of in-app purchase, if you really want to play the game and you really like this game, you're going to have to spend the money.
I love that there's a review that says way too hard right next to a review that says way too easy. That's great. So is there a tilt mechanism? Like, you know, the art of pinball is not hitting the flippers, but tilting. Is there a tilt mechanism?
Well, I'll say pinball is everything. It's the touch of the button, the finesse of the button, the manipulation of the ball, the timing of the paddles, and the tilt mechanism.
That's a smell.
If there is a tilt, and yeah, the smell. And Tommy needs to be a pinball wizard. If there is a kind of tilt, I did not witness it. I will.
So you just tap the left side of the screen or the right side of the screen?
Basically, yes. You have two different flippers. I just thought this was, honestly, I just thought this was cool because it looked like Tron.
Dort.
And that's all it took for me to download.
This game is beautiful and awesome, and I can't wait to play it. It's already installed. I'm not going to fire it up during the show, Mark. But I know you will. But this is the coolest game I think I've seen in a while.
Matt Valenzuela says, Daft Punk meets Tron meets Blade Runner meets pinball. Totally addicted. This is the best pinball game I've ever played. And since most people talk about how much they love the music, I just wanted to let everyone know that the soundtrack is available on Google Play Music. Enjoy!
Ooh, that's nice, too. I didn't think about the music, too. How's the music door?
I have no idea. I turned it immediately off. And this is by a company that we've brought apps from before. And does not commute.
They're not.
It was one of the apps we brought in the past.
And they're not called Medcore. That's the place where you have to call in your injury at work. This is Mediocre.
Mediocre. Sorry. I'm going to blame my vision on this one. I'm not going to say this is a great game because here's the thing, Eric. 2 or 3 minutes into playing it, you're going to mentally figure out almost everything that I saw that you need to figure out how to do. Once you figure out how to do your classic, take the ball, give it a little bit of momentum to change sides to the other paddle, and then your timing with the paddle, once you start to figure that out, there's not much more that I know of you can do with this game. But I will say it was fun to figure out and just beautiful. The graphics, that alone sold me. And I'm sorry, I'm becoming more of a fan of portrait games than landscape games, and I don't know why.
Tablet anymore.
I don't know.
I don't know. So what you're saying is once you get like in the groove and you become this centrifugal rickshaw dancer with it, it really just cruises right along and you can just keep going for a while.
Well, yes, but there's always a countdown timer. And if you don't get the bonus time enough, you're going to run out of time no matter what.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So once in a while, aka most of the time, you have to pay attention which ramp gives you the bonus time and do what you have to do to hit that ramp and not the other
one. Do you get really unlucky and fall back levels upon levels?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Because once you think you're in that flow, all it takes is one, hey, dad, 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 and then you just lost it. And boom, doom, one level, boom, two level, boom, three level, da, 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 da. You know, you just feel the Tower of Babel falling over top of you.
Did you take the in-out purchase then?
I will. I am. I'm pretty sure. I can't see me not. But yeah, not yet.
Wow.
And it was, and seriously, this was, I believe, again, this was not a Bill Miller Abbey. The Bill Miller did post. I believe this was a Ivor. I want to say Ivor. I-V-O-R. Ivor? 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 Yeah. Ivor. Him. I believe was the guy who did it in the Android App Axe community. But I still want to thank both him and Bill Miller for posting, because this is the kind of app you can't post it too much, because people need to see this app.
Eric, I just got to give you credit for fusing sci-fi, centrifugal rickshaw dancer, and pop music in Tommy all in one little sentence there. That was my hat's off to you. Very impressive.
Anytime.
See, and you don't get that kind of maturity in podcasting out of somebody who says, JK, I'm just JK.
Well, you can't say just JK. That's like saying ATM machine.
I always say
ATM. I know, machine. And pin number. Ah, it kills me.
Yes, I do that too.
Well, I try not to, Mark. I will say that.
I'm going to do something that's a bit unprecedented. It has happened before, but not often. I'm going to bring an app. Yes, the host brings an app. This is, let me throw the link into it. It's a very esoteric app. Not everybody's going to enjoy it or need it. But if, like me, you enjoy home poker tournaments and difficulty with the blinds and the timing and all that sort of stuff, you're going to need, or you're going to want an app to do that. And I've been, this is not new. There've been apps for this for a long time, but this is, in my opinion, the best free app for this that I've ever seen. It's super simple. Let you customize, and I'm not going to go into the rules of poker, but if you're running a poker tournament, every X amount of time, you want to change how much you bet. And that's something that you got to keep track of, and it's easy to lose track of when you're in the middle of a game. So why not plug your phone in and let it do that? You can also put the players in, how many players in, the bigger the pot, and somebody goes out, you can tag them out. And at the end of the game, it'll tell you who's in, how much money to split to what, how the split is. You can build in breaks. You can set different times for just like if you want the first round to go 30 minutes and every other round to go after that 20 minutes, you can customize that. It's really a super full-featured, completely free app. There is an in-app purchase that simply removes ads. And I did that. I don't remember how much it cost now because I've already done it, but I think it was like $3 to remove ads. That's the single in-app purchase. But if you don't do that, there's a little ad running. But if you like to, you know, throw this on a tablet and set it up in the corner of your poker table, this is an excellent game for that, called Blinds Are Up Poker Time by CG Thomas.
Okay, here's my question, Mark. I know poker, two pair, three of a kind, flush, straight flush, royal straight flush, full house. Blind, and this is blind, blinds are up. Blind, I believe, is the minimum.
It's bet? The blind bet, the bet that you have to make before any betting begins. Yes.
Like ante?
Oh, so it's well, like
the ante is up. A different thing. So a blind, there's the dealer, the person to the left of the dealer is the big blind, the person to the left of the big blind is the small blind. And so ante is anybody who wants to play throws their ante in before any cards are dealt. And then after the cards are dealt, the big blind and the small blind have to bet automatically. And so the big blind is the max bet. So you would start at a typical tournament, you'd start at a $5, $10. So you, if you want to play and you're in the big blind button and it rotates around the table as you go, you have to bet $10. It's a given. So the small blind, you throw five in. If you want to play, you have to match the $10, or you can just fold and you only lose 10. The rest of the people around the hand, table get to look at the hands for free. So the blind is basically a way to prime the pot for numbers. So your big blind is always going to play because it doesn't cost him anything. It's already in unless somebody raises it. So in a tournament style, you start small and every X amount of time you go up. because if you constantly played $10, $5, it would get really boring. So, but in a typical tournament, by the end of the first, say, hour and a half, you're at, 1,000 and 2,500 blinds. And so that, as people are amassing money and people go out, it makes the game keep from going on forever. And in this one, you can set up your tournament. You can say, I want to play a four-hour game. I want to start with this many chips per person. You figure out how to do the blinds, which is a super cool option to be able to do.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. Good, very good find.
It's the best I've ever seen for free. And then again, very minimal cost. I mean, you guys are looking at it. What's the cost? Does it show? It doesn't show. Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't. It says free.
So you've got to install it to see. It was less than $3.
I thought it used to
$1.49 per item.
Okay.
So that might there be the whole cost.
Yeah. There you go.
And as far as I could tell, there is the one item. So $1.50 for the app. And you know my mantra: if you like something, pay for it. I liked it. I haven't used it in anger yet. I've only played with it. I've got a poker tournament this weekend. I'll let you know. Cool. I'm really looking forward to not having to think about that part of the game. Because, when you're hosting the game, that's one of the things that you have to do. I'm just going to let my app do this for me.
Cool. So you got a bunch of cigars coming over to the house then? Cigars and whiskey?
People may bring that. Yeah. I'm not actually into the whole smoking thing. They can do that outside. But... I told them if they wanted to bring alcohol, I'd pretend I wasn't Baptist for a night.
Well, you're in Oklahoma. You can take the card table outside, sit out in front of the garage, and
I'm in Georgia, but yes, that is a thing that you can do.
Oh, Georgia. Exactly.
Sorry, my poker table is a 4-foot by 6-foot piece of oak, so not something you want to move in and out. Yeah. So anyway, there's my game. Let me also read an email for you. This is from our good friend Soham Bapat. He says, "Hey guys, when you first recommended Longshot on the show, I thought it would be a great alternative to the Samsung Note scrolling screenshot feature. But as you can see from the screenshot attached, it's a massive battery drain." So just a follow-up to that. Apparently Soham experiences significant battery drain when using this app.
Yeah, I did say the caveat with the app was it was a very new app, very beta app. In the description, they said might not work with all devices. I encouraged Soham, let the developer know. Because my logic is there's no way the developer knows.
Did you have that experience?
No, but I will say my phone did in the last month definitely a percentage of battery performance just disappeared. Where now my battery's draining quite quick. And I did go back and I did uninstall a whole bunch of stuff, but it's still the exact same result. I'm not getting as good battery as I did even a month ago.
Is the blimp back up?
No, they swore it's never going up again.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I'll move to Chapel, Maryland now.
Well, you don't really want to.
All right. Let's see whose turn is it. Isn't it? It's back to Eric.
Okay. This is an app that was given to me by Door to Door Geek. And it's called Bangers Unlimited 2. Of course, he knows me. He's like, "Oh, Eric." So, and just the name itself was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, that's me." But then when I actually got to play the game, Bangers Unlimited 2 is a demolition derby figure eight racing game, which is pretty cool. And it's fun. And if you're into demolition derby racing, this is another... I think we've brought a couple of these over the years. This is probably the best one I've played. It's pretty realistic, I thought. And it's just not a whole lot more to say about that, though.
Yeah, we brought a couple. I'll say none of them, to me, look spectacular looking. But I will say this one, to me, did look a little bit better than average, better than I expected, to be honest. Real life to scale tracks. I don't know what good that means. 105 career races, it says in the video. I just know that it looked like one of those simple, fun, you just drive around and hit people.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play it, Eric?
I did.
How was the control?
The control was good. I mean, I've probably driven a couple dozen demolition derby cars, they don't control really well in real life. So, it takes some getting used to. It's not one where you're going to mash the gas the whole time. You do have to slow down around curves and things like that. There's a little skill into it.
Well, that's no fun.
No, it is fun. I like It's a challenge, I think, because, you know, making it around the track in a demo car is a challenge, and it's a challenge on this game, too. It's not just a racing. It's not Forza 4.
So it looks like it's got a three-quarter top-down view plus a first-person view.
Yeah, I didn't do the first-person view. I only did the three-quarter top-down.
And it's $2.99 to purchase. So, I mean, they must think it's good to charge $3 for it.
Oh, what, did I pay for that? Okay, yeah. It was worth it to me.
Well, and that's where Google Opinion Rewards comes
1,000 to 5,000 installs. So it's relatively new. June 29th was the most recent update. There's not a lot of people willing to pay $3 for the privilege of driving crashing cars.
No, I recommend it. If you're young enough, get an old beater car and do a demolition derby sometime. It's a good time. It's a good family sport where you and the family can take turns beating the crap out of a car in the driveway, knocking windows out, and tearing up back seats and finding old change and stuff and getting the car ready for the race. And then you get to spray paint on it, whatever you want. Yeah. Get spray paint on a car. Kids will love that.
Got to make sure your back's in good shape because it won't be after a few of those.
Yeah. And I had a bad back from a car accident. And I never really got hurt in a demolition derby that I could tell. And maybe I'll pay for it later.
All right, Eric, let's go ahead and do some tank emptying. You got anything else while we're at it?
Oh, man, do I. Okay. We're going to empty this tank. Okay, this next app is a throwback app that everybody in this room could probably relate to. It's called Legend XP Error. And basically, it is just a floating Windows XP type error on their default background screen. And you can scroll it around like it used to when you were out of memory. And it makes like you're painting on an Amiga or something.
The old graphical glitch where the background would be frozen and then you could have trails of the error message window as you drag it around.
Yep.
Note, if you give too much tampering with the BSOD.
This is the one I was reading, Dor, before the show, and I couldn't stop laughing. The boredom and unemployment products are made for entertainment purposes. That old feeling, you live and have fun, wish to make the new artwork. Note, if you give too much tampering with the BSOD. None of that makes any sense.
100,000 people have downloaded this app that makes a Windows error screen on your phone.
Wow.
What is wrong with this world?
We miss the good old days, man. It's the member berries. Remember when we used to have errors that would flash across the screen like that? Oh, yeah, I remember. That was great. Okay, my next one is called There Is No Game. I think this was put to us in the Android App Addicts Google Plus community, and it's by Kamizoto, and the winner of Deception Jam. And there is no game. There's nothing to do. Do not tap anywhere. Really, don't tap anywhere. Do not laugh, as there's nothing to laugh about. Don't try to touch your mobile screen. And basically, it takes forever to install. It loads up like it's a really huge app, and actually, it doesn't do anything. It's not a game. It just kind of tells you that once you play it. And this one has how many installs? 500,000 to a million installs with 28,000 five-star reviews.
Yeah, with 34,000 reviews, average 4.6 rating.
I thought it was going to be a game. I really did, even though I was clearly warned it was not a game.
So this is like the anti-humor, the no joke. A guy with a big orange head walks into a bar. That joke, that, you know, non-joke thing.
Sure.
Is this
like the Android equivalent of Zombo.com?
Okay. Yes, pretty much. Yep.
Alrighty.
All right, moving on. What else is in the tank? Yeah, I hope they're better than that.
This is the tank, you know. This is the tank. Okay, here's a useful app. I'm sorry, those last two weren't really useful. Sir Topham Hatt would not be happy with those two. This is called DevsBase, and this is a new place similar to XDA where you can go and get in chat rooms and talk about ROMs and developer stuff for Android devices. And I'd like to. I haven't gotten into it too far, but I'm going to start using this because sometimes XDA is just a little daunting, a little hard to navigate through, and it's a little over the top for me. I don't know why I get that feeling, but sometimes I just do. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of DevSpace before.
Yeah, nothing.
This is by JMC Software.
I've never heard of DevSpace, but I will say once in a while, XDA does seem to have a little bit of too high of a concentration of vinegar and water, you know, coming out of the people there. But I'll say, to me, ROMs are like saying malls. I mean, have you been to a mall lately?
I did. Actually, I just went back to one, and I was surprised how full it was.
I find that fairly really hard.
I didn't expect it, and I didn't realize that there was like two shootings there the week before, and I was.
I just see the ROMs world be very slow. I don't see a lot of stuff going on.
Well,
I don't see a lot of new ROMs coming out. I don't see a lot of like people expecting on this new device. I can't wait for there to be ROMs kind of stuff.
I agree with that on the new device. Like my 5X, I'm okay with the stock ROM, but on the 7, on the Nexus 7, that's really slow. If I let it do its automatic updates, because it automatically updates to a bad ROM that's really super slow, I'm actively searching for a good, quick, speedy ROM, stripped down kind of thing for it to keep it alive.
No, but how old is that device?
It's a 2012.
Yeah.
4 years old.
I mean, yeah, so a kid who was born at the same time is getting ready to go into kindergarten.
Yeah, and he's about to witness his first white president.
All right.
So, next app in the tank.
Now, that was from Between Two Ferns. You guys haven't seen Hillary Clinton's Between Two Ferns interview yet?
No. Oh. No, I don't watch that.
Oh, man.
I can't stand that guy.
Really?
No, but I did watch the epic rap battle from history of Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I don't get into that.
All right, you got another app?
Oh, do I? No, I don't.
All right, Dora, give me your three strikes and you're out.
Okay, wow. The first game I'm going to bring, I'll say this, it is truly hard for me to describe this game. I have to call it a game. It's called The Trail from Kongregate, which everyone with at least a little bit of web experience under them has heard of Kongregate before. This, I believe, was free, does have some kind of in-app purchase. 10,000 reviews, 4.5 average rating, between 10,000 and 50,000 installs updated today. Current version, 6,578. What the hell is going on there? In-app purchase between 99 cents and $99.99.
That's typical Kongregate stuff there,
I guess. This is, to me, this is very difficult to explain what's going on here. I encourage everyone to just download it and witness it for at least 2 or 3 minutes. You start the game, the graphics are very blocky-ish.
Kind of like thing. Dire Straits, Money for Nothing video.
Money for Nothing. Yeah, I'll go for that. Yes, yes, yes. Which, of course, we just lost, you know, at least 30% of listeners with that. You start the game by getting off a boat, and that's the introduction to the controls, how to move, how to turn, how to look around. And you immediately, when you get off the boat, you come across the guide, and the guide leads you. Your first goal is basically to get to these waterfalls that are like 14 kilometers away, something like that. And there are little rest stops where you can sit down next to a campfire, rejuvenate health, basically. And you have to walk to each place down this path. You can walk slower. You can walk faster. You can look around. You can pick up stuff. You can grab stuff. You can feed animals. You can do... this is an experience. It's the only way I can explain this. This is not a game in your typical sense of a game. This is a experience, and there's some crafting along the way. Like you can pick up things along the path and turn them into moccasins, or slingshots, or hats, or better backpacks. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Weird. I don't know how to say it, but this is just a weird game. But there is some addictive nature to it because you really don't know what you're going to see next as you walk down the path.
I've installed it. I haven't played it yet. I thought I read where it's sort of like an Endless Runner and Minecraft mixed.
I can go for that, but there's no running. I mean, you can run. Better shoes, you can run. And it gives the perception of not endless, though. It gives the perception of your goal is to make it to these falls. And then on your goal checklist, one of them was basically start a family.
Right.
So what I'm going to guess is you get so far with this character, then you basically change characters, and now you start a different quest, you know, to go to this next part, and you got to basically walk there.
I'm sure there's some in-app purchase that'll let you teleport or something.
I don't know. I just know this was weird enough that I had to install it and unique enough that I kept, I don't want to say playing it, I kept doing it for at least a little bit. I did not like the fact that I basically had to listen to the game.
Did you buy the Sheriff's Hat for 300 cents?
No. I was going to read this review from David Francis Falsis, but he uses the phrase very unique, and I just don't need that kind of stupidity in my life.
Yeah, because it's either unique or
that's like mostly
or
pregnant.
More perfect.
90% of the time, it works every time.
I'm not going to lie to you. That smells like gasoline.
What I'm going to bring next was a app that I immediately showed Steve C., old host of this show, EDM music-loving guy. I sent him, I believe, two apps in the last week, and this was one of the apps that when he saw, he said, oh my God, this is awesome. Android is finally getting to where he really did want it like 3-4 years ago. This app is called Remix Live Play Loops on Pads. If you've seen EDM people, quote unquote, making music, and I hate saying that because that just insulted all people making music, they have basically a grid, almost like a bingo card of squares. They have grids of squares, and they have it customized to where this 4x4 block is bass beats. Next to it is a 3x3 blocks that's snare drum beats, and then down here, this block of 4x4 is different harmonies with horns or whatever. And they have everything organized in a certain way, and then they basically can tap on it almost like you watch a street kid playing a plastic drum, kind of methodically kind of thing, with knowing the exact precise timing and hits. And they do it on the grid of squares and make EDM type music. This app allows you to basically create that grid of squares and customize what goes in each one of those grids of squares. So you can, especially with a larger tablet, a bigger tablet, really get into some really higher advanced music making loop generation. Really cool stuff, I gotta say that. If you have a kid at all interested in the idea of making music, this is completely free to download and install. E for Everyone by Mix Vibes. Remix Live Play Loops on Pads, top developer. Only 1,300 reviews, 4.5 average reviews, between 100 and 500,000 installs. Current version 1.0.1. So brand new.
Installed. Mark, I've got a challenge for you. Are you into this app?
I'm curious. I'll say I'm app curious.
Then could you read Eddie Rinkin's review?
Eddie Rinkin's, let me find him. Because we don't show things in the same order.
I was wondering if it was similar order.
Okay. Is he right up at the top?
If not.
Okay, there we go. 4 stars. Very professional at its most. This, y'all, is more the good. I'm telling you, no joke. No play, get it now while you still can. This program really is worth 5 stars, and it's easy. I came up with a beat in less than 3 minutes, and you can share on SoundCloud and be known for your work, but slowly but surely.
Okay, thanks.
Word.
To your mother.
What'd you say about my mother?
Yeah.
So yeah, I could, man. If
there was a second app, though, that's the whole thing. There was a second music-making app.
And you've lost it.
That I didn't bookmark, apparently. So I'll try to bookmark that one. I'll go talk to Steve C. because I sent him two. And I'll bring that one next week.
So this might not be the one he loved?
No. He liked them both. Okay. He was impressed.
This is the kind of thing that you would have needed thousands of dollars of equipment for just 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah. And even 5 years ago would have cost you a couple hundred.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. What I'm going to bring next is a non-game app called Say It. And I just messed up my copy-paste pattern, so I'm going to go back like this. This is called Say It, and this is the solution to the person who wants to hear something and not read something and not have to have, like, Pocket installed, because that's how I do it right now. Say It by Urban Android, which we should have heard before.
Urban Droid team. They've been on our show.
Yeah. They did Sleep is Android, a really good quality sleep tracking app. Basically, you can take anything, a web page, a PDF, a text document, an email, whatever, share it out, share it to this app, say it, and it will basically speak it out to you.
That's installed. Awesome.
This has been so long in waiting for this. I didn't realize Urban Droid was a top developer now, too. That's nice.
I'll tell you something. They better be a top developer because they really strive to do good work. I'll say that. They have a lot of passion in their work.
The bad thing is all their stuff gets stolen by Google.
I know.
It's like, you know that the next version of Google is going to have whatever these guys
Not are. Only is it free, but there are no in-app purchases. There's no way to throw money at these people if you want to.
You have to track them down, use another app, and then pay through that app.
Yeah, I paid for the Sleep as Android upgrade, I'm sure. Remember.
You're right. Same here. But yeah, this was definitely a good one. This will be in the notes again. This is called Say It. Trust me when I tell you, this is going to be one of the better apps you've ever seen.
Wow. Thank you, Dor.
Okay. No problem. This next one, to me, is a great... Look, we were talking about buying a device from Swappa. To me, this is a great app you can use next to test your device before you sell it, so you can be sure everything is working correctly. And when you get your new device, you can put this app on to test it. It's called Test Your Android. And what it basically does is it allows you to go through everything from touch screen sensitivity all over the screen, multi-touch, flashlight, fingerprint reader, camera, sound and vibration, microphone, NFC, compass, GPS, Wi-Fi, and it will go through every single little thing on the phone and basically test it and make sure that everything is working correctly. I thought this was a really cool app.
Definitely want to get the use this as soon as you get your Swappa device.
Yeah.
Cool.
Absolutely. Let me see. I'm going to throw one more out there. Let me just click. Okay, I'm going to bring this one only because I thought it looked impressive. Again, not game app. This is called Action Director Video Editor. This is a very niche app. Maybe in this whole show, maybe three people will download it. You can tell this is by cyberlink.com. We should all know Cyberlink. Cyberlink are the only people who allowed you to legally, I'll say, decode and save DVDs and Blu-rays. Okay. You buy the software and you can do that editing and saving if you want. 254 reviews, E for everyone. Completely free to download, does have an in-app purchase, 4.5 average reviews between 10,000 and 50,000 installs, version 101, Action Director Video Editor. It just is what it is. It's a video editor. You can, from within the app, capture video, edit video, share video out. Trim, do custom color correction, text, custom, text over top of it, do reverse, you can do speed up, color, contrast, hue, brightness, saturation, blah, 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 and on and on and on and on and on. This is Cyberlink, can export to full 1080 directly to YouTube, too. That's one of their selling features. I just thought this was a good app to keep in your back pocket if you ever need to edit some video.
It's weird because you brought Cyberlink Power Director not too long ago. So at first I was thinking it was the same app, but it's not. It looks like, cause I don't know if Power Director actually had where you could record the video in the app. This one does. Yeah,
Power Director was for more like special effects and to do like collage type video editing, where this is just raw video editing. Nothing new.
But this will do a lot that most people are going to, you know, basically like Movie Maker on Windows or something.
I'll agree with that. It's a battery killer.
Little doubt in my mind. You hit transcode and you can watch your video. You can watch your battery.
Erase. Which, does it finish transcoding or does the battery die first?
Better have that screen off when it's plugged in.
Right. And I lied. I'm going to bring one more. It really should have been for Halloween, but we're already past Halloween, so I'm bringing it anyway. I don't care. This is from .emu. I brought a lot of .emu apps before, so you should know what you're getting when I say that. typically .emu takes other projects from other architectures, whether it be Game Boy, computer, or whatever, and they regurgitate the code for Android. This is called Sanitarium. I've never heard of it before. $3.99, T for team. This is a horror-based game. 4.3 average reviews, between 5,000 and 10,000 installs. Hasn't been updated since December 15th, 2015, version 104. I never heard of it before. But all you got to do is just look at the video, and you know this is a horror.
Originally released in 1998 for PC and Adventure Game of the Year winner. So that's why it's not being updated. It's a port, and that's it.
Yeah, and apparently their port is solid. They don't need to do any more porting.
If you're not singing the Metallica song right now, we can't be friends.
Yeah, so I thought I'd bring a Halloween app after Halloween.
Cool stuff. That is 15 apps for the evening. We were gone, but we came back with a vengeance. Google Home by Google Inc. Swappa by Swappa LLC. Prisma by Prisma Labs Inc. Smile Incorporated by Super Lame Games. Pinout by Mediocre Arcade. Excuse me, just Mediocre. Blinds Are Up Poker Timer by CG Thomas. Bangers Unlimited 2 by Mad Cowie Productions. Legend XP Error by Big Apps. There Is No Game by Kamizoto. Dev Base by JMZ Software. The Trail by Kongregate. Remix Live by Mix Vibes. Test Your Android by Hibernate. Action Director Video Editor by Cyberlink.com. And Sanitarium by .emu. For all those people that say we don't read the titles often enough. There's 15 of them back to back for you. Good stuff. Good show. Work well. I'll most likely kill you in the morning.
Exactly. As you wish.
So, Eric, any final words? Any great wisdom from the Exalted One?
Oh, everybody around me was abuzz today with Cubs fever, so I'm glad that the Cubs won, and we can all settle down for another 100 years.
Hey, I mean, Pennsylvania deserves all the champions it can get.
Yes, they do, too.
Okay, Eric, Mendor, any final words of wisdom other than that from that sports ball reference?
Sports ball. Love it. Greatest. All the goals I saw, man, I was just so inspired, and I just wanted to hip, hip, hooray. Can you tell I'm not a fan of baseball? Too much standing around. It's the laziest sport. Next to bowling. I want to thank everyone for their support. I want to thank everyone for downloading. I'm going to thank everyone who does go to Patreon and support us there. I want to thank everyone who goes to podness.com and clicks our Amazon link. And this is the time of the year, people. The holiday season is coming. If you ever want to support Podnuts, I encourage everyone all year, support Element OP, support Twit, support Going Linux, support any other podcast you want. But there's just one time of the year I beg people, if you can support Podnuts, this is the time of year. I would love it if you could go to podnuts.com/Amazon and make your holiday purchases.
All right. All right, that's it. We've been going more than an hour and a half. I don't think you need any more bloviating from me. So I'll simply say thanks for hanging out with us, everybody. Dor, Eric, as always, thank you for letting me hang out with you. And we'll see you next week, because that's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts Podcast.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.